is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Dell Small Business.
I'm Christopher Cruz. We may be close to a ceasefire in Gaza, along with a swap of hostages for prisoners. Details from the BBC's Wira Davis in Jerusalem.
American sources continue to say that the framework for a six-week truce is in place, but that important details still have to be agreed upon by Hamas and Israel. Israel is reported to be seeking further details on which hostages would be released under any deal, and Hamas has previously insisted it would only agree to a truce if Israeli troops withdrew from Gaza and people were allowed back to their home areas in the north of the Strip.
It's one of the most powerful blizzards to ever hit the Sierra Nevada mountain range, and that's saying something. CBS's Carter Evans is in Truckee, California.
A Union Pacific plow train is busy cleaning out tons of snow, joining the heavy-duty plows working around the clock. The National Weather Service says more than 500,000 people are under a blizzard warning. Many are hunkering down, stocking up on batteries and lanterns.
We're about to go home and not leave for the next couple days.
Several ski resorts shut down because of avalanche danger.
Higher elevations could get as much as 10 to 12 feet of snow before it's over. Now begins the recovery from the damage wrought by the largest wildfire in Texas history. People who live in the panhandle are returning to find that much of what they built is gone. Ranchers Russell and Angela Grisham lost pretty much everything.
Took out the house, took out the well house, the barn, the shop, just everything's just leveled, the carport.
Former President Trump won last night in Missouri, Michigan, and Idaho. His last challenger, Nikki Haley, was in Massachusetts, criticizing his attempted coronation.
He tries to push the RNC to name him the presumptive nominee. Now, we don't anoint kings in America. We have elections.
This Tuesday, Super Tuesday, 15 states and American Samoa will vote. Four astronauts suited up and ready to go, but once again, bad weather forced their launch to the International Space Station to be scrubbed.
I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Weather has been the concern all week long. It's been mostly about rough weather along the East Coast for the emergency landing zones should something go wrong during launch. But tonight it turned out to be high upper-level winds on the flight path that kept Endeavour on the ground.
A man from Pennsylvania has been arrested and charged with killing a pregnant Amish woman. 52-year-old Sean Cranston was denied bail yesterday. Police found the body of 23-year-old Rebecca Byler in the living room of her home last week. This is CBS News.
This year, Dell Technologies wants to help you do amazing things with their best tech, like the XPS 13 Plus, powered by Intel Core processors. Amazing prices await at Dell.com/deal.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Diversity efforts are curbed at Wisconsin State Universities, and Republicans promise more scrutiny of diversity, equity, and inclusion across state government in the months to come. But as Farah Siddiqui reports, states that cut back on DEI are literally paying a price.
When events are scheduled in places with policies that are considered non-inclusive or discriminatory, that place is often assumed to support these initiatives. Dr. M. Ray Perryman of the Perryman Group, who conducted the independent analysis, says some potential visitors will choose to go elsewhere rather than support places they think are less open to diversity and equity. He says this avoidance risks millions for the Missouri economy.
Travel and tourism losses in Missouri and Kansas could total hundreds of millions of dollars per year, with an associated loss in revenue to the states and local governments.
Bills now under consideration include SB 1314, which would limit state funding for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and SB 980, which would prohibit state agencies from doing business with companies unless they'd agreed not to be part of economic boycotts. The Perryman Research says with these types of policies, the state would risk losing nearly $2.6 billion in annual income and almost 24,000 jobs by the year 2030. Perryman also points out that controversial public policies are discouraging to skilled workers seeking long-term employment and young workers as they consider where to begin their careers. He says it also plays a role for organizations in Missouri concerned about retaining employees.
At a time when the U.S. economy is facing major challenges and uncertainty, the competition for quality corporate locations and expansions, as well as skilled workers, is particularly intense, and anti-DEI measures can be particularly damaging for future prosperity.
The report warns of similar negative financial consequences for the state of Kansas. I'm Farah Siddiqui. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. We got Chuck Quala coming in studio 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly sunny skies today. There will be a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Breezy with highs in the upper 60s, which would absolutely shatter the record high that's in the upper 50s for today. Mostly cloudy, mid-30s tonight. More rain chances Monday. Currently 44 degrees.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, Kadagi, Weena, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Not only is that true, I always like to hear once a day that I'm right, so I appreciate that, Haley.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Thanks. Hey, we got Wendy, and Wendy's checking in. Wendy, where are you at?
I am here. I'm just incognito today, as I had a day of leisure here, and I didn't have time to go to the makeup mirror and make myself pretty today.
You're always pretty and happy. Oh. Yes, everybody knows that. But glad to have you on. And we'll have a shortened version of our sacred animal section coming up next. And we'll also have Bob Blake from Red Lake. As you know, Haley and Wendy, I always like to say that.
Love it. Love Bob.
And Bob Blake's from Red Lake, but it's Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're going to have him on for a while. But hey, Haley, there's some things going around Turtle Island and the area. You got some updates of what's happening around?
Yeah, I sure do. Well, I want to bring this one up right away. So this is a post here from one of our great sponsors, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. We have an Indian boarding school survivor healing circle in Minneapolis this evening, Tuesday, February 20th. Again, this will be going on from 6 to 9. So right after you're done listening to Native Roots Radio, I'll get over to All Nations Indian Church out there in Minneapolis for the Indian Boarding School Survivor Healing Circle.
Nice. And then, Wendy, we were talking about, and maybe Haley, you can help us too a little bit. We were talking about the show, the fashion show that Jaleesa and Wendy went to.
Oh, yeah. With the fashion designer, I think we were trying to remember her name yesterday. It was Amber Buckinaga.
Yes.
Yeah, she was in Fashion Week here in New York City and had, models model her latest fashions. And it was really something else to see. And then, we were saying yesterday that Robert and I went to see the play Between Two Knees. And it just seems that this wonderful thing of, Native American awareness is shining through in all different aspects. So it's really fun to see that.
Right. And I wonder too, I feel like maybe a lot of the plays, and, you know, we talk about kind of like hard subjects that are a lot of our elders that have gone through boarding schools, and, you know, it's just a good thing to put that history out there, because again, our history books in school didn't talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we were brought up with these stories, but a lot of our white allies and just people across the world don't really understand the erasure that has been going on for 500 years of Native Americans. And we always say we're still here, and we're such a small percentage of people here. We need our allies as much as ever. And so it's fun. And also it was fun watching the play with all that knowledge, because I think, Wendy, I don't know, do you believe, I feel like they put in a lot of history.
They did put a lot of history. Yes, they sure did. Wounded Knee, Trail of Two Tears. I can't think of off the top of my head. I'd have to read it. But yeah, they went through like the whole history in 2 hours, and it was really, you know, something else. And they did it in a fun, lighthearted way.
Yeah, that reminds me too. I don't know if you know this is coming up, Wendy. I know Haley and I have been talking about it, but there's a play coming in town from New Native Theater sponsoring it, and it's called Bear Grease, which is a takeoff from the famously movie Grease.
Wow.
Yeah,
that one should be good. I'm excited to see that one. I think there's only 6 days that they're doing that performance.
Yeah, I don't know, but get out there. This sounds like there's going to be a lot going on. There's different nights that are going to be promoting certain things, like there's going to be an auntie night. There's going to be a dress-up night. So they got some things tied in with the performance itself. So they're, what I like to say, they're breaking that fourth wall and letting the audience join in some aspects of this.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I can't wait for that as well. Another thing I want to mention here before we go to break, we have NAC, Native American Community Clinic, one of our great sponsors with Dr. Anthony Stately. They are doing something new that I saw today. This is their wellness breakfast. They're saying, join us for a free healthy breakfast catered by Minneapolis American Indians Gatherings Cafe and discussion on health and wellness. Everyone is welcome. And this happens the fourth Thursday of every month from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. And it happens, let's see, this will take place at the Many Rivers East Building out there on East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Wow, that would be a fun one to go to maybe next week if they have it again. Because I'll be coming back to the cities here and then boogieing over to Madison for the State of the Native Nations. That'll be at the Capitol on Thursday. And I'll be doing the show from Madison again and hightailing it back to the Twin Cities and making Haley nervous to make sure my headsets and record and everything works.
Oh, well, did they put the signs up for the Ho-Chunk, what was it, the Ho-Chunk Code Talkers Memorial Highway? Is it
no,
that?
They're okayed it, and one of the things that they're working on now is what the verbiage of the Ho-Chunk and the English version, and there's still a few things that have to be ironed out. I know the state is allowing like 80 signs, but after that, it's pretty expensive to put the Ho-Chunk verbiage of what town it is and what it is in Ho-Hawk. So the definitions of the cities and towns that they're going to be in. But everywhere is Indian land and everywhere is Ho-Chunk land. As we know from the book Banish Forever, you know, we're here and, you know, we've been here for 10,000 years and we're looking for some recognition so people don't erase us here in Minnesota, too.
Yeah. Well, since we are on the topic of NAC in the previous event there that I shared, I want to share that they are doing another full moon ceremony this week, Friday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. at Little Earth Gym. You know, again, everyone is welcome. If you're going to show up, please wear a long skirt or a shawl. And it is a potluck, so please bring a dish to share if you are able. And there will be feast bundles as well.
Nice. Very nice. So, Native American Community Clinic is just all over the community in a good way and in a healthy way, and bringing back a lot of traditions that maybe our young ones or people like me that were banished from our tribe don't know. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Up next, we'll have Wendy checking in. I know she's got some sacred animal stuff to talk about.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh, what?
This is 93.5 The Tap. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. And hey, we got Wendy here. I coerced her in doing another segment here in New York. And Wendy, what do you got for us today? I know Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been bringing stuff to Native Roots Radio and all over across Turtle Island for many years about our relatives, our sacred animals. And Wendy, take it away.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. So, Robert, you know, when we have our phone on and we land in New York, New York kind of finds us on our phone, right? We get all these updates about Broadway shows and what's happening in New York City and what's going on and that this and that. On my phone, I get that, but I also get what's going on in the shelter world here in New York. So I see a lot of, dogs for, up for adoption and to visit your local shelter here in New York. And they're all full, and they all have so many dogs in it. I talk about the Minneapolis Care and Control a lot in Minneapolis, and they're always having good events, and they do sometimes waive adoption-y money so that you can get the dog at a really good price because there are so many dogs. But this article that I have here, adopting a shelter dog, did come from one of the shelters here in New York. And they have a lot of really good information about what's the first steps to do when you get your dog. All right. And this I would say could also go for cats as well. So, they say here, they want you to head straight home. You might want to be excited and go to the nearest pet store to pick up a lot of supplies, or you might want to go down to the dog park to show your new pup off. But they say the best thing to do is just go straight home and let both of you settle in. It's really hard on the animal. The dog doesn't know what's going on, where they're going. They don't know who you are. They have to get to know you. So the best thing is to do is to go straight home. Don't even stop through the drive-thru and get a pup cup. Just go home. And then the second thing is that's really important is watch your dog closely. You want to close the doors to the bedrooms and use baby gates to prevent your dog from having access to the whole house during the first week at home. This will help you figure out what your new dog already knows and what you both need to work on. Always use a leash outside, even if you have a fenced yard. A leash helps until you're sure your dogs won't escape. And I would just suggest, like, go around your fence and make sure there aren't any holes or spaces that they can get through. And honestly, I wish I knew this, Robert, when we adopted our three dogs, because we do have a fenced yard, and I did go around and secure all the little spaces that they even, they possibly could have went through. But we did let them out without the leashes. And you know what they did? They went and they hid in the bushes, and we couldn't get them out. They didn't know that we were their people. So we were out there calling the dogs and looking for them. And we had to literally drag them out from under the bushes. So go out there and use the leash, even if your yard is fenced in.
You know what else we found out?
Yeah. That
three dogs is a lot more than two.
We did. Robert, well, you're the one who said, well, we had two dogs always. What's another one? What's the difference between two and three? And yeah. It was a lot. Yeah. Number three, reward good behavior. Give your dog lots of praise, treats, or offer toys when your dog does good things, like sit quietly next to you, comes when you call them, goes potty outside. So dogs want to please their people. So when they're doing something good, let them know it by rewarding that. And, give it time. As much as you want to hit the ground running with your new pet, your dog needs time to decompress from a stressful shelter life. It takes some time for your new pup to get the hang of your home and to learn about, you want to learn about your dog's likes and dislikes. And I also want to say this, I want to add this, because I've had dogs practically my whole life. I mean, there's been times when I didn't have a dog, but they get used to your routine. Like, a lot of people will say, I work odd hours, or I like to sleep in the morning, or, I'm a night owl, or, and then, the dog won't fit into my life. But dogs will kind of just, at least the dogs I've known and the dogs that I've had, they kind of just do what you do, I mean, Wanda, since I've retired, I'm telling you, she's really gotten into my routine. Like, I like to stay up late and watch TV. She stays up late with me. And I like to sleep in the morning. So, she knows, okay, we're going to sleep in and we'll get up at 10 and then go out. So, she just goes with the flow.
Where's Wanda now?
She's in the studio here. I'm in the studio WC here in New York, and she's on the floor. We have a little rug here, and she bundled it all up. She jumbled it all up, and she made a little bed for herself, and she's sleeping right at my feet. Yeah. Oh. So the last thing they say here is do slow introductions. So if you have another dog, if you have another cat, if you have other animals in the house, take your time with your new dog and the other dogs or cats. You want to set everything up for success, so don't rush it. And give them time. So, I mean, that even goes for cats. Cats need time to decompress. It usually takes 3 days for them to decompress from the shelter. It takes 3 weeks for them to learn your routine. And it takes up to 3 months to start to feel at home and secure. So,
wow. Remember Princess when?
I know we've talked about her so many times on the radio, but it's such a cute little story. Yeah, she hid in my closet for literally, Robert, wasn't it like 3 months? I made a little bed in there.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was in the shelter the longest, and I wanted her. Mm-hmm. And we took her home, and she was just a very, very nervous cat. So she just found a little spot in the corner of my closet in our bedroom, and she would just stay there, really. And she didn't come out. And when we were gone, she would come out. We never saw her, really. She would mm-hmm. use the kitty litter. We knew that. And she would eat food, but... You know, I put a little bed in there. But Robert, you would be playing with, you know, our other cats and the dogs outside in the living room. And she used to like kind of, you know, walk around really slowly and like, you know, look around the corner to see like what was happening, what's going on. And, you know, she saw, you know, how gentle you were and how nice you spoke to the animals. And little by little, you know, Robert kept enticing her and calling her and getting down on the floor and going, you know, you know, making the kitty cat sounds. And eventually she just came up to you and you would pet her and you went really slow with her. And she really, you know, changed. Like she was a different cat from the time we met her and took her home from the shelter. I mean, 6 months later, she was definitely a different cat. It was like night and day, her personality. And another thing it's important to remember is that the personality that you see the dog with at the shelter isn't really their real personality. You know, they're stressed out. They're in a strange place. There's lots of noises. There's a lot of barking going on. So if you see the dog really quiet and shy and maybe in the corner, that's just, you know, the stress of the shelter. And once you bring the animal home and they feel safe, once they feel safe and they know that, you know, they're not going to get hurt and they're being taken care of, you'll see their personality just blossom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we didn't know that about the cat, and we were really confused when we had the three new dogs because they'd be in different directions hiding. I lost a dog, and it ended up at our bathroom door closes, and Wanda was locked into the upstairs bathroom.
Yeah, she went in there, and the door closed behind her.
And you were at work, and I was going, I'm going to get killed here. I lost one of the dogs.
Oh, no.
Wendy's gonna come. That happened too when I was gone sometime. I don't know, something happened. You had somebody over and they left the porch door open and the cats got out.
Yeah, they were like going up the tree or neighbor's tree, which they have never done since and never did before.
Well, keep everything secure because, you know, and honestly, dogs who are just newly adopted go missing a lot because they're nervous and they find a way out and they don't know what's happening and they just run and they escape and they're so hard to get back because they don't know who their person is. Mm-hmm. So just keep an eye on them, get them tagged, get one of those GPS trackers. I have one on Wanda where you can track them on your phone. Make sure they have a tag on with their name and phone numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, great job, Wendy. As always, really appreciate you. We got Bob Blake coming up next, and I know you're going to be making dinner, so you'll be off the air now, but I appreciate it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and a big peeny geegy to Wendy and our sacred animal section.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. We could be a day or two away from a ceasefire in Gaza, says the BBC's Sebastian Usher.
Hamas is reported to have said that an agreement on a truce could be reached within the next 24 to 48 hours. That is, according to a Hamas source quoted in Egyptian media, if Israel agrees to its demands.
A storm that's been pummeling the Sierra Nevada is moving west, says CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
This storm is a huge windmaker, and it's not just causing blizzard conditions in California and Nevada. It's also bringing 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts to the Wasatch in Utah.
This coming Super Tuesday could be the end of Nikki Haley's presidential campaign, says UVA political analyst Larry Sabato.
If anybody was going to make a breakthrough against Donald Trump, they really had to do it right away. And Nikki Haley did turn out to be the strongest of all the opponents, but strongest is relative.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Bucks win again.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 113-97. Giannis with 46 points and 16 rebounds. The Bucks have now won 5 in a row. Chicago's Nikola Vukovic got frustrated and smacked Milwaukee's AJ Green in the face and was ejected from the game. Head coach Doc Rivers.
It was great. You know what? I just liked our defensive energy all game. I thought that's what changed the game. Thought we got into them. Game got a little chippy. But I thought it got chippy over just defensive pressure. Just as long as we keep our composure. That was the only thing I kept telling our guys. So, and then Giannis, you know, it's that thing we talked about, feeding the pig, meaning if you fall on a plate, it works. And we had the little angle action. Stay with it. You know, the one time they went away from him, that's when I jumped up and said, why would you go away from something? That just keep running and keep running and something else, then you do that.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see partly sunny skies today. There will be a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. Breezy with highs in the upper 60s, which would absolutely shatter the record high that's in the upper 50s for today. Mostly cloudy, mid-30s tonight. More rain chances Monday. It's 42 at our studios.
I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but new Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with new Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Bob Blake from Red Lake, Robert Blake, the owner of Solar Bear, and he always brings us great news with the Solar Bear, with the solar news. Welcome, Bob, as always.
Hey, how you doing, Robert? How's it going?
Going good. I'm out here in New York enjoying the same weather you guys are having there in Minnesota.
Oh, hey, forget about it.
Huh? Forget about it, right.
Forget about it. Hey, you're out there in New York. Hey, how is the now, I mean, New York is just getting walloped. I mean, the East Coast, right, by a lot of this crazy weather.
Well, you know what? They haven't had weather in the last 2 years, and now they're kind of having normal weather. Like, it's been 700 days since the city had any snow or precipitation. And so it's kind of natural now. People aren't used to that. So it's kind of the reverse of what we're doing and going through with us. In the Twin Cities, at least in the five-state area in the upper Midwest, is that last year we had the third largest snowfall in history, and now we have none. And now New York and the surrounding areas are getting weather, which they haven't had in a long time.
Yeah. You know, Robert, that's a great, great segue into this first story that I wanted to talk about. And it's about the weather. And last year, Robert, just real quickly here on this right here, it says last year, the degree 1.7 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times was the average around the world. And so we're only supposed to be over 1.5 degrees Celsius, right? So we were actually like over the limit in which, you know, the Paris Climate Treaty Agreement said that, you know, we shouldn't be over. Now, the reason why this is interesting is because at 2.0 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times, this report says that that's when, like, you know, civilization and collapse happens, right? So, like, the reason why I bring this up is because, folks, we're not that far away from things going off the rails, and we really need to take this seriously. This really is like the movie Don't Look Up. Like, you know, when the asteroid is coming at the planet, people are like, nah, that's not real. Like, this is serious. So I think that that's pretty interesting. And this is in Popular Science is where the story comes out of, and talking about this.
Which is oxymoron for Republicans.
Yeah.
But just those two words put together.
Right. And I just think that it's really interesting because, you know, first of all, a lot of the, because, you know, they're talking also about just how incredibly heat and how that affects like the human body and how that's really going to affect like our livestock and the drying, and it's a really good article and it really goes into it. It's really scary too, but I think that I thought that I should probably bring that up because we were talking about it. Another good article that came out here is this is just recently. So Minnesota now is rebooting their community solar program with a new focus on lower income residents. And what it is basically, Robert, is essentially the community solar program now is going to just be focused, you know, a lot on, you know, low income residents. Now here's the other thing. This was a bad thing though, is when they got rid of this community solar, when they revamped it from a public utilities commission level, right? There, it kicked out a lot of folks that just signed up for community solar and just wanted to be a part of the program, right? I guess some good things, some bad things here in the way that they recreated the community solar program for the state of Minnesota. I guess there's good things and bad things about this, but kind of feel bad for some of those individuals that, a lot of these community solar gardens now, aren't, I guess, performing to what originally was the intention of this particular, piece of legislation, our program.
What do you mean performing? So is there not a lot of energy going through these solar farms, or they're just not performing in another way?
Well, they're basically saying that that a lot of these community solar folks that signed up for community solar now, they're kind of like kicking them out of the program now, because it's not in line with what came down from the Public Utilities Commission. Now, I'm kind of in disagreement with the PUC on this. I really wanted them to just keep it and leave it alone the way it was, because it was working just fine. But there's the argument here too that the program isn't really necessarily serving those that, I guess it was intended to serve too. So there's an argument for both sides, and I'm a little kind of in the middle on this, and that I think that they probably should have just left the program the way it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then last thing here, Xcel Energy proposes a time of use rate for a default option for Minnesota customers. Robert, what this is happening now is Xcel Energy got approved to do a time of use rate and a program study recently with different neighborhoods. And it's basically, do you want the folks in Eden Prairie paying the same amount that they're paying in Minneapolis? And so they did this program, and they're proposing a time of use rate now after all of the information that they gathered, and they said, this is probably the most effective way and the most effective rate that we should charge everyone after the study that we did. So this is being proposed now. I think it's kind of interesting because, in one part, I agree that, maybe the different energy uses of folks in suburbs might be different than those folks in, say the inner city, and vice versa. So this is going to get a little bit more attention down the road here. And so this is just a proposal right now. This is going to be very interesting to see where this goes.
So where in the suburbs they're using less energy? Is that because the houses are more insulated, or is it vice versa? What is your take on that?
Well, the thing also too in the suburbs, the homes are bigger, so their energy use is more intensive, is that appropriate to say an individual who lives in an apartment in South Minneapolis? And so they're going to put out this, they're just proposing. This is just a proposal, Robert. But what they did though was they did this study where they basically looked at what folks were using out in suburban areas and into urban areas, and they came up with this metrics and this kind of, blended rate, to speak, saying this is what we believe that this should be. So they're proposing this rate. And it's going to be interesting to see if this is accepted or not. So, this energy is getting very, very particular now with just the way that it's being used and distributed. So, and the utilities are really feeling the pinch from renewables. We got electric vehicles coming online. So there's all of these different types of, ways that I think the utilities are going to try and, figure out, okay, how do we best, support our power lines, our transformers. There's a whole metrics of different things that come into play in the way that, utilities are going to try and figure this out. Because when you think about you're charging your electric vehicle, charging your EV car, it's the equivalent of charging like 300 homes. You know what I mean? So, it's those kinds of things that they're trying to prepare for. And that's why you see these proposals coming in now with these proposed, rates and what have you.
Wow, that's really interesting, too, because nothing's free. And I know when we were talking about houses possibly like built like the year Wendy and our houses, there was, gas was penny cheap. And literally they had ads saying that there was no insulation, there was newspaper insulation, and now we have bigger places that might be insulated more in the suburbs and the inner city.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, and I think that's part of, why these utilities are trying to figure this out. And so, Robert, we're going to see a lot of these things happening here in the future, I think, through Xcel Energy, through the gas people and all that, to figure out how we're going to be using our energy in the future. And so these proposals are going to be happening more and more, I believe.
Well, we have Bob Blake here with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're going to have him come back here for another segment. And we're talking about the solar news and what's happening around Turtle Island. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to hold Bob on for another segment so we can howl together. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Almost Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, we're here with Bob Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News. And Robert, I know you also are CEO of Native Sun, which is a nonprofit organization. So, hey, we're talking about some things. That's I'm sure you can swing now a little bit here in the last segment here, some positive things, because this last segment was a little dark, and we're kind of pondering what's happening.
Yeah, well, I always tell people, like, I'm sorry about what's happening in the world. It's just the reality we live in. And like I said, it's just like that movie, Don't Look Up. We don't want to know what's happening, but it is happening. But this is a good story, Robert. Norway leads the world in electrical vehicle adoption rates, with 82% of new car sales being electric vehicles in 2023. In contrast, the U.S. saw electric vehicles account for only 7.6% of new car sales last year, as estimated by Kelley Blue Book. So, you know, understand, everyone, that with any technology, there's going to be, you know, kind of the side things that aren't that great for the environment, right? But I think the thing that I'm trying to say about with solar and electric vehicles is each and every one of these technologies, Robert, is just a solution, right? Like, it's not the solution, right? But it's just another metrics that is just trying to mitigate and lessen our carbon footprint. Because if we continue on the status quo, and that's burning coal for our energy, emitting carbon in the air, if we continue to, you know, put gas in our vehicles, you know, and burning carbon and putting it in the air, we're going to reach this tipping point of 2.0 degrees Celsius very quickly, and that's going to be very hard for us to come back from, okay? And so, you know, when I talk about electric vehicles, when I talk about solar, I'm just saying that these are two things in our tool belt that we can do, because there's a lot of things, recycling, there's, you know, there's other forms of renewables that we can use, to do policy, you know, there's all these different things that we can do, you know, to that we can help, you know, the planet and whatnot. So I don't intend, everyone, as you're listening to the Solar Bear, that these are the silver bullets. I'm just saying that these are ways that we can lessen our carbon footprint. And that's the big thing that we need to do now, Robert, because we have the technology here. And that's why this is so important. You see what I mean?
Definitely. Well, and Wendy and I talk about little things that go along with that too, like Meatless Mondays and things like that, that really, there's so much water that's involved with feeding these animals and all these things. So it's just a combination of a lot of things is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing is too, is there's nothing wrong with getting a little healthy. Like, Meatless Mondays is okay. Tofu Tuesdays. Like, I don't really think there's nothing wrong with, like, giving yourself some, you know, some good health, you know, habits. And like this right here, here's another story, Robert. The United States Postal Service is introducing 50 electric delivery vans and installing 100 EV chargers at its Atlantic Sorting and Delivery Center. Now, this is just another option. You know what I mean? This is just another way that, you know, corporations and other entities can lessen their carbon footprint. And that's what we have to do. Like, it has to be all of us. It has to be all different organizations doing these things, just like the United States Postal Service is doing in this story. So it doesn't mean that, you know, me, Solar Bear, is going to just change it all on my own. You know, it means that it's going to have to be all of us doing our part. And that's really the point that I'm trying to make with the electric vehicles, with the solar, you know, with like you said, Robert, by the way, I do Meatless Mondays on my own.
Right on.
I do Meatless Mondays on my own. And I'm telling you, it really is not hard.
There's some school districts around the country, and I think Wendy would know better than I do because we've talked about this, that do go Meatless Monday in schools. And that's a big start. And that's a thing that I think we all could mirror, especially here in Minnesota, where we're doing
free lunches and free breakfasts for our students is, you know, I hear that's going gangbusters because they're dealing with a lot of people aren't throwing away their lunches like they used to. They're eating things that they want to, and then they happen to be healthy too.
Yeah, and I would say too, Robert, that, you know, if we could, you know, have our kids, you know, teach them while they're young, you know, the importance of, you know, just healthy eating, you know, will lessen a lot of these diseases, you know.
Right.
And the other point is, you know, that I mean, I'm sorry, but I've seen a lot of these documentaries now on factory farming and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it is really terrible. You know, when you hear the farmers themselves say, I will never feed chickens to my family. I would never. And these are the people that are actually running these factory farming situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think is a pretty good sign that maybe we should rethink what we're putting in our mouth.
Oh, absolutely. I can't remember the documentary. Wendy, what was the name of the documentary that we first watched? Food Inc. Food Inc.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That was going around the schools, and that was an amazing eye-opener. As a matter of fact, 2 days after Wendy watched Food Inc., she went vegan.
Yeah. Yeah. And
how long? Almost 15 years ago, Wendy's been vegan now.
Wow.
Good for you, Wendy.
Yeah, good for you, Wendy. Robert, I remember one of the first times we all went out to eat.
It was after a show.
Yeah, with Wendy, and we went to the
Jay Selby.
Jay Selby's. And it was wonderful. They had the best food there, and you can't even tell.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the point. Like, we can all do this. People, you can save the planet. And as a matter of fact, Robert, I think that we should, like, we should do something with the show, like, you know, hey, let's all do a Meatless Monday, a Tofu Tuesday or something, some type of campaign. I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box right now, but I would like to do some type of campaign like that. And then even do something like Run for the Planet or something, you know, and, you know, like do one of these like 5Ks or something and get people involved. And because it's those little things that if we can have people do, those little things build, those little successes build on bigger successes. Right.
Right.
And then I think people feel more empowered.
Right.
And they want to make more of a difference, and they want to take the necessary actions, you know, that are even bigger around climate change. And I think we can all agree that when we do that, we can have a better relationship with one another, with ourselves, a healthier self, and then with the planet is a good thing.
Yeah, it all is one big circle. Bob, thanks for coming on as always. And Meatless Monday and Tofu Tuesday are our next big project. Great to hear from you and see you. If you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on the sacred ground, it is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and go vegan. We'll see you tomorrow.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Alba. Monday, noon to 2, we'll preview the Super Tuesday primary and more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe from 7 to 9 p.m. on The Tap, 93.5 FM WCFW.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, dangerous conditions persist in the Sierra Nevadas, says KPIX-TV meteorologist Darren Peck.
The blizzard warning goes until 10 a.m. And remember, the blizzard warning is primarily trying to communicate the risk of reduced visibility because of the wind.
15 states and American Samoa will vote on Super Tuesday. UVA political analyst Larry Sabato says that could be the end of Nikki Haley's presidential campaign.
About half of Nikki Haley's votes are coming from people who say they will not support Donald Trump in November. Well, people say a lot of things in March and then they've changed their mind by November.